We are straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted that you're part of the program this morning. Also delighted to have our guest here this morning. We talked to her a couple of months back. Been doing important work across the county. We're going to talk about some of the items this morning. Orange County Supervisor Lisa Bartlett joins us this morning. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Thank you. Great to have you back. You've been busy since last we spoke.
Yes, we have. Been very busy at the county.
Yeah, that's right. So we left off last time, we left off with your technology for seniors.
Yes.
Tell us where that is. How has it progressed in the last couple
months?
Well,
the program is now initiated.
Okay.
We spent $2.4 million for technology for iPads. For seniors. So we have 2,200 iPads distributed equally between the five districts. And older adults can apply for a free iPad that includes a data plan. Training is available to help set up the device. And we have access to free online classes as well. So the purpose of the program is to provide older adults that are at high risk, that are homebound or in residential care facilities, or just older adults that want that access to technology.
Right.
You know, with COVID, a lot of adults were staying indoors, especially our seniors, and they weren't going to the supermarket, or they still need to make medical appointments, doctor's appointments. And so this gives them the ability to learn that technology that they may not have learned before, get those appointments set up online with the technology on the iPads, and be able to make those medical appointments or have telecare appointments as well, be able to communicate with friends and relatives and such. So it's really great for them to get that exposure, and it's free of charge for our seniors. So some of the parameters on the program, they must be 60 years of age or older, and reside in Orange County, have an annual gross income of less than $75,000, and have at least one risk factor for isolation. Either they live alone, they're in a care facility, they have health issues or limited mobility. It's funded by the ARPA funds, the American Rescue Plan Act.
Right.
And we have a number that they can call if they're interested, which is 1-800-510-2020. Or the local number is 714-480-6450.
Great launch. Great launch. Great program, by the way. And thank you for working so hard to put that together.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, this past Tuesday, the public weighed in on the redrawing of county district maps. And I'm curious that of the eight proposed maps that you saw, did you hear anything, first of all, that swayed you from one map to another? And what did you hear from residents? What were their primary concerns?
So every 10 years, we have redistricting, and it's based on the census, which is every 10 years. We're actually a little behind the power curve this year in getting it done simply because of COVID-19.
Right.
So that really delayed things. But now we're in the process of looking at the redistricting maps. So on Tuesday, we were presented with eight maps, and the ones that are compliant based on having communities of interest and the majority minority communities and so on, there were four maps that were considered pretty well compliant. And then we narrowed it down, and we're moving forward in reviewing maps number 2, 4, and 5.
Okay.
So at this point, we have the option to review those maps and present any modifications to those maps by today.
Okay.
And then they'll be up for review again next Tuesday. At our last board meeting, we had about 55 speakers specifically talking about the various maps and what they'd like to see with regard to keeping communities of interest together and moving forward in redistricting for Orange County. So it was great to hear from the public. And again, every board meeting where we talk about redistricting, we always welcome the public to come and speak because their input is so important to this process.
Some members of the public were calling for a specific Latino district and an Asian district on the Board of Supervisors. Is that something that we would ever look at? Is that something you'd look at?
Absolutely.
Okay.
When you take a look at the demographics of Orange County, the population here and demographics are changing.
Right.
And certainly over the last 10 years, they've changed quite a bit. So we are looking at keeping those communities of interest together in a district whenever possible.
Okay. And when deciding on something like that, should level of income and homeowner ratio be factors?
Those may be factors, but they are not the overriding factors.
Okay. Okay. And there's another public hearing on November 9th, correct?
Yes.
And you can hold a hearing on November 16th. as
yes.
well?
Okay. We basically have set aside every November, or every, excuse me, every Tuesday in November okay. to work on redistricting until the maps are complete.
Okay. And the maps are going to be used for the June primary next year, and it'll be in effect essentially for the following, for the next decade after that.
They will be in effect for the next decade. They would go into effect about 30 days after the maps are finalized.
Okay. And you have a primary next year. You have an election coming up next year. What kind of pressure are you feeling from any outside entities to craft a favorable map for that election? Are you feeling pressure?
There may be pressure, but really we have to be fair and balanced in our approach
right.
and be compliant with the Voters' Rights Act. And that's really my primary concern, is to make sure we take a fair and balanced approach, look at communities of interest. I know that my South County cities want to remain together.
Right.
And to the extent possible, I'm going to be working to promote keeping my cities together in one South County district. So we've got input from the community at large. I have colleagues that we need to work with relative to creating those final maps. But we want a fair and balanced approach. We want to be compliant with all of the rules and regulations regarding the Voters' Rights Act. So those things will take precedence.
Okay, and thank you for holding the public meeting, for allowing public comment on that as well. County officials are estimating the county government is going to be hit with about $1.5 million in costs over the next year because of the recent oil spill. Are we looking at perhaps a lawsuit against Amplify Energy?
We have secured legal counsel.
Okay.
What we've done is we've kept track of all of our costs, just like we did with COVID. So all of the oil spill related costs that the county has incurred is being coded a certain way relative to the oil spill. We're keeping track of all those invoices, all of the county staff time that we've had to utilize for the oil spill. And we will definitely collect all of those invoices and costs together and expect to work through maybe a legal process, hopefully not a legal process, but we are geared up for it. But we do expect to be reimbursed, and we will be applying for reimbursement okay. at various levels of government, but also through the Amplify Energy as well.
Okay. And what are your thoughts about decommissioning and then maybe repurposing the oil rigs out of the ocean?
I think the oil spill was certainly a wake-up call for all of us. We all realize there are oil rigs out there in the ocean.
Right.
And it was certainly a wake-up call. We are so fortunate that the oil spill looks like it's going to be under 25,000 gallons. It was originally estimated to be up to 150,000.
Right.
But even with the 25,000 gallons, we're still picking up tar balls along the coast. There have been a lot of efforts at all levels of government. Everyone went into action very quickly, and that was a blessing for us
right.
because with the immediate action, we were able to not have the adverse effects to the wildlife out there and the birds as well. But also along the coastline, there was immediate cleanup, immediate assessment. The booms were put out in the water to collect oil. And so with the collective actions at the local, state, and federal level, we were able to get the oil spill under control very, very quickly and have minimal impacts. There are still going to be impacts. When you have an oil spill, you will have impacts along the coastline.
Right.
And we've got 42 miles of pristine coastline in Orange County that we want to remain pristine.
Excellent. Yeah. And you did use the term wake-up call, and I completely agree. That is, it woke us all up, I think. You spearheaded the collaborative effort to find an agreement along with the near-term project spelled out for transportation here in Orange County. Construction of the Los Patronas Parkway extension, the efforts to complete the high-occupancy vehicle lane improvements on Interstate 5, and Ortega Highway, the widening of Ortega Highway in San Juan Capistrano. Congratulations on those efforts, by the way, and hard work. Explain a little bit about what exactly we should see there.
Well, in Orange County, in the southern end, we always have traffic issues because unlike other parts of the county, we've only got one freeway. We have the I-405, which turns into the I-5. Other parts of the county, they've got the 22, the 55, the 57, the 60, the 91, and so on. So we have more of an impact down here, especially with increased amounts of growth activity, meaning Rancho Mission Viejo, for instance, with 14,000 homes that would be built out. So we always have to take a look at what can we do to relieve the traffic here in South County. And we're doing everything we can relative to improvements on the arterial roads, but we need something more than that for the long term. So traffic studies have been done, and having two projects move forward that have been on the books for a long time, the Ortega Widening Project. So widening that pinch point of 1.1 miles on Ortega Highway so we have a consistent two lanes in both directions is critical in San Juan Capistrano. And then on the I-5 freeway in South County, from Pico to the San Diego County line, having a continuation of the HOV lane. But those two projects in and of itself is not enough to carry us forward in the future. We've done a number of traffic studies, and there just weren't projects that were coming forth that would relieve traffic, but also not be adverse to cities, not be impactful to built-out cities. And so in looking at the different options, there were just no great options in my mind. And so knowing that we still needed something in place, I met with our public works director and said, I'd like to create a path and look at connecting Cal Camp Road across Ortega Highway through Planning Area 5 of Rancho Mission Viejo, going below the ridge line in San Clemente, and then connecting into La Pata and looking at that as a county non-tolled arterial. And so we did a traffic study for that particular project, and it showed the most benefit as a non-tolled arterial, and it relieves a lot of traffic. So we don't need to connect to I-5. And by having the three projects in place that Orange County Transportation Authority agrees to, San Clemente, and also the county, it really solidifies things for cities in South County that they're not going to have a road going through the middle of their city connecting to I-5. Yet we do have a great project along with the other two projects that will create a great amount of traffic relief. So it's a win-win for the community at large. And I'm really happy to move these three projects forward.
And you're moving them forward after almost two decades of the projects just sitting, nothing happening in two decades. So congratulations on moving that forward. And that had to be a lot of work to get that done. It really did.
I can imagine the footwork.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a tremendous amount of work, but we had great cooperation from all of the stakeholders. And I'm just really pleased that we've now solidified these three projects to move forward. And this will carry us forward well into the foreseeable future for traffic relief.
Okay. I'd like to discuss a few items specific to traffic, specific to Laguna Beach, and one of them, let's start off with traffic relief here. One of the only arteries in and out of town is Laguna Canyon Road. Laguna Beach, the city, wants to purchase Laguna Canyon Road from the state and make some improvements to it. We're looking for undergrounding. We're looking, you know, there are a lot of improvements need to be made. Maybe an HOV lane or a double lane that goes both ways, goes one way in the morning and the other way at night. Will the county agree to hold aside the money the city is going to pay to acquire the site and invest it in, wrong subject. How will the county assist the city in these projects that we're looking to do?
The county will be very favorable in working with Laguna Beach to work on the city taking the section of Laguna Beach from the toll road to Coast Highway and purchasing that from the state of California. I know when I was on the Dana Point City Council, the state just was not maintaining Pacific Coast Highway that ran through the city of Dana Point. And so the city actually purchased from, or was given from the state, $3 million to maintain and as a fund and create a plan where the city would take the road from the state of California. And it would be the city's responsibility then to maintain it and do what they want in the future.
Right.
And it has worked out wonderfully in Dana Point because we've got local control. The roads are maintained beautifully. And having the ability to handle things at the local level is really significant. And I know in Laguna Beach for Laguna Canyon Road, the undergrounding of utilities is a critical component because that would beautify the area. But also having the city maintain that local control over the road, they're able to create a plan that works for the city. If they want active transportation on the sides for bikes, that's great. If they want a center line for buses down the middle, that's something that they can put forth. So having the city have the local control of the road makes a lot of sense to me, and I'll do everything I can to support their effort.
Right. The efficiency in Dana Point now, having local control, there's nothing like that efficiency. It's really great, isn't it?
Yes, because when you talk about development plans, for instance, the city of Dana Point is working on creating a new vibrant town center.
Right.
And in the past, every time we needed a new curb cut or we needed something different along Coast Highway, we'd have to go to the state for approval. Now the city can make all those decisions at the local level. And if Laguna Beach takes Laguna Canyon Road from the state of California, they're able to make those decisions here at the local level, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. Thank you. The city also wants to purchase library parcels, the library here in town, the parcels from the county. The question I was going to ask you earlier is, will the county agree to hold aside the money the city's going to pay to acquire that site and invest it in future library improvements, perhaps?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. The city did exercise the option on the library, current library site. And when you take a look at how the city has developed over the years and now all of the readaption and redevelopment taking place, the library as it exists on that parcel site today is probably not highest and best use at that location. Parking is always a challenge. And so the city has exercised the option. The county will hold the funds and we will be looking for a new site, hopefully for a library right here in Laguna Beach. And then the city can take a look at the current library site and make the decision. The city officials can make the decision along with the residents on what they'd like to see at that location that would be a much better use for the community at large, and also have the ability with another site in Laguna Beach for a brand new library.
Excellent. Thank you for that. The city also wants to take over South County beaches here on a revenue neutral basis. So how will the county work with the city to help it make it revenue neutral for the city? Obviously, we're taking on service burdens and stuff like that.
Again, consistency at the local level makes a lot of sense because right now it's split between the county portion in Laguna Beach and then the city portion.
Right.
So having it consistent with city and local control also makes a lot of sense to me. And the county is working very cooperatively, working through my board office and also with OC Parks to work through the logistics to make that happen. So things are in progress at the moment. And we hope to get things finalized in the not too distant future.
Okay. Now, when you sat in the chair, we talked about your schedule for the day. You are busy today, but it's not just today. It's every single day that you're running like this. What are we expecting to see from you in the next couple of days, couple of weeks? What are you working on?
A lot of meetings. Right now, our focus is working on the redistricting maps. That's something that's really critical. And we want to get those maps finalized sooner rather than later.
Right. And am I missing anything that you'd love to that you'd like to talk about and tell our listeners about this morning?
Yes, we have the grand opening of the greenery grand opening in San Juan Capistrano today, and that is out at Prima de Checa.
Okay,
at 10 o'clock, and would love to have everyone if they've got some open time this morning to come and join us. But we've got things going on every single day. I also encourage people if they haven't already to sign up for my newsletter. Because it talks about everything going on during the week, everything we've done, things coming up in the future, and a lot of good information. So they can go to the website, which is www.soupbartlett.com. And they can also follow me on Facebook at Supervisor Lisa Bartlett and on Twitter at OC Soup Bartlett. And they can always call my board office if they have any questions, which is at 714-834-3550.
Okay. And Orange County Supervisor Lisa Bartlett, thank you for the technology for seniors update that we got this morning. Really appreciate that. If you could give us that number one more time, the way that the seniors could dial into that technology for seniors.
Okay, we have two numbers, 1-800-510-2020 or 714-480-6450. We're happy to answer any of their questions and love to get those iPads into the hands of seniors as soon as possible.
Thank you so much. I know you have a busy schedule, and that's why we appreciate your time with us so very much this morning. Orange County Supervisor Lisa Bartlett, thank you for being here today.
Very welcome.
Thank you. 8:20 the time, Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show.